tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the third and final hour. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Again, this Saturday, January 31st event, not this Saturday, but 2 weeks from this Saturday, down in Rochester, Laura Logan is going to be one of the moderators with Seth Kessel. This is going to be the debate between the candidates for Secretary of State. Well, she sat down to give an explanation about Smartmatic, the election voting system that is based out of Venezuela. This Smartmatic was created basically during Hugo Chavez, his election. Way back before Maduro, before any of this current events were taking place in Venezuela. This is from a couple of years ago where she actually sits down and explains what Smartmatic electronic voting system was created to do and what it's capable of doing. I'll play you a short clip.
That is determining the outcomes in elections in more than 70 countries in the world. If they have figured out, including your own, by the way, up the ballot, down the ballot, right? So whether it's control of the House, control of the Senate, not just control of the White House, they're installing people that they want to see in those positions, not necessarily the people the American people have chosen, because they're able to affect the outcomes of our elections on every single level. And they can do that in more than 70 countries in the world. So now, you look at a country that isn't actually run by a government. It's run by the most powerful criminal organization in the world that doesn't care about international conventions and international law and so on and so on. It's partnered with all of our adversaries, not just terrorist organizations, Islamic terrorist organizations, not just foreign adversaries, right? Not just other criminal cartels, but all of them together. So this consortium of enemies, whether it's the CCP or the North Koreans or the Iranians, right, is partnered with the Venezuelans. They're able to choose leaders, you know, from Latin America to South America, by the way, also to Europe, countries like Spain that are completely captured. They're able to buy off American officials, infiltrate the government, from the National Security Council to the White House, completely infiltrated, run it by Cuban intelligence, one of the most sophisticated intelligence operations organizations worldwide. How are you going to stop China's advance when you have a country like that that's also using drug warfare to not just kill hundreds of thousands of Americans, more Americans dying from drug overdoses than ever in the history of this nation, but is able to make more and more powerful narcotics, because you're now talking not just about things that come out of the ground, but things that are made in laboratories, chemicals that are made in laboratories from which there is little to no recovery whatsoever. And even those who survive, their brains are decimated. So you're destroying another line of operation in unrestricted warfare is drug warfare. So you have all these kids that are casualties on a battlefield that we don't even recognize as a battlefield.
Very, very interesting. And again, this was done a couple of years ago during the Biden administration. She's going to be the moderator at this event. So very interesting perspective, very knowledgeable, got very much educated, informed about the Smartmatic electronic voting systems that were totally basically invented, created down in Venezuela years ago. So it is definitely something that she, I'm sure, is going to be available to talk with these candidates for Secretary of State and to be able to ask them specific questions to see how knowledgeable they are about Smartmatic and other things, Dominion voting machines, et cetera, et cetera. So again, mark your calendar, Saturday, January 31st at 1 p.m. They will be broadcasting, carrying the event via a live stream online. Short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Monica Yatuma. I've spent my career in the private sector, fixing broken systems and delivering real results. When there was waste, I cut it. When there was failure, I demanded accountability. And when problems got tough, I didn't back down. Now I'm running for Secretary of State to bring integrity, efficiency, and common sense back to Michigan government and to protect the trust in our elections that voters deserve. I'm experienced and I know how to get things done. My promise to you is conservative leadership that you can trust. This message has been paid for by Monica Yatuma for Michigan.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Gun owners in Northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hey, everybody. Second segment of hour number three. Going on to other stories in Lansing, and I just have a couple of these that caught my attention in this last half hour. We're not going to be able to get Bernadette Smith on today's show, We thought originally 11:30. Well, that didn't work out, and she just got back to me, and she said, no, I'm not going to get out of my meeting in time to be on your show today, so we'll schedule to have her on next week. Also, the other third candidate running for U.S. Senate, Genevieve Peters-Scott, or Scott Peters, I'm not really sure her hyphenated last name. One of her staffers called me during the show, left me a voicemail. She would like to be on the show next week as well. So maybe perhaps we will schedule them back to back, maybe next Thursday, and see if we could have both of the candidates that are running against, primary challenging Mike Rogers for the U.S. Senate Republican nomination. Maybe we can get them both on the show the same day next week. So I'll work on that this evening and tomorrow over the weekend, and we'll get that figured out for next week. Well, there's a new mayor, folks. Mary Sheffield, new mayor in the city of Detroit. And the Detroit City Council asked for a report specifically on creating a citywide sales tax. They already have, I believe, a citywide income tax. Well, now they're looking at the possibility of a citywide sales tax. Now, Mayor Mary Sheffield requested this report last year when she was on the Detroit City Council. Well, the report says that the city of Detroit could raise $72 million a year if it had simply a 1% sales tax, or $50 million a year on an amusement tax. This amusement tax would be for concerts and sport games inside the city of Detroit. So, of course, that would be the Detroit Tigers, the Detroit Lions, the Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Pistons, as well as any concerts that you'd end up paying or be charged an amusement tax. Back in April 2025, Sheffield, then the Detroit City Council president, as well as City Council member Letitia Johnson, requested a resolution for the city's legislative policy division to contract with the Citizens Research Council of Michigan to complete a study called Local Options of Taxation for the City of Detroit. If state law were to allow it, local government finance structures could include a variety of local option tax revenues that reflect an area's economic strengths, such as retail and tourism, the resolution reads. The city currently assumes a greater cost burden by providing non-resident visitors with various public safety, infrastructure, and public works services during large events without the ability to directly recoup the associated costs from visitors. While running for mayor last year, which the race Sheffield won with 77% of the vote, she talked about needing to explore creating an entertainment tax or a penny tax that would allow voters to approve a 1% local sales tax. Well, it's not a penny, it's 1% as a local sales tax. The CRC research was presented virtually yesterday by the president, Eric Lufer, and Maha Anderson, the organization's senior research associate specializing in local affairs. Interesting side note, from 1997 to 2000, under Republican Governor John Engler, Anderson served as Michigan's chief deputy state treasurer. They went on to say, in Michigan, our sales tax was adopted in the 1930s, and our economy has changed significantly since then. And so the tax base has evolved, meaning that we buy less of certain things and more of other things. Anderson says Michigan's present 6% sales tax, which contributes to local government revenue sharing, but doesn't permit them to have their own extra sales taxes. For example, she explained Michiganders probably purchased fewer record albums, but listen to music on streaming platforms more and more. Well, we don't charge taxes on streaming or anything like that that other states do. For Detroit to have something like a 1% sales tax, legislators would first need to amend the Michigan Constitution, which requires two-thirds support in both the House and the Senate. The state legislature would have to create a Uniform Sales Tax Act so that local governments could adopt it. That's been the history, the tradition in Michigan when it comes to local government taxes, Anderson said. Afterward, a local governing body would need to adopt and approve an ordinance for a new local sales tax to be implemented. Ultimately, to seal the deal completely, the tax would need to be brought in front of the voters and be put on the ballot. Because this would be a new tax, there would have to be an affirmative vote of the voters in the affected area. So you can see, it's a pretty high road to go. She also added that Michigan is part of the Streamlined Sales Tax Project. This is an online commerce agreement that was aimed at minimizing differences in state tax policies among the states. See, folks, not too long ago, if you purchase something online, we didn't have to pay state sales tax. Amazon, eBay, even online retailers. State of Michigan was not part of this Streamlined Sales Tax Project, a commerce agreement within the other states. Well, I'm not exactly sure when it was, but it changed, and Michigan became part of that project and now charges sales tax on online purchases. Anderson went on to say that certain provisions have been adopted within Michigan to retain membership, maintaining the same base as the state tax if you have one, as well as local tax bases. So they have to be exactly the same on what you tax and what you exempt. The Streamline Project also calls for sales taxes to be administered at the state level, with businesses primarily being online businesses sending their taxes to one unit per state as they collect them. States accepting item definitions that have been adopted by the governing board of the SSTP. Well, as far as which one is better, a 1% sales tax or taxing entertainment experiences in Detroit, Lufer said $72 million and $50 million aren't much difference when you look at the context of a $1.6 billion budget. That's what the budget is for the city of Detroit. What we learned going through this exercise is it's hard for the city to raise money from the sales tax because it's hard for the residents of the city to purchase big ticket items that would generate that sales tax within the city. You need to buy a refrigerator or a new stove, major appliances. Those things cost a lot of money. A lot of times city residents travel outside of the city to make those purchases. Luffer explained Detroit officials could get ahead of things and levy the tax now as Detroit's growth continues, but the realist in him thinks about people moving to online purchases. Probably the squeeze isn't worth the juice with the sales tax, but the admissions tax might be more fruitful for the city with less effort. Talking about the amusement tax. Even though we can't find it in writing, many years ago there was an acknowledgement that the state would share sales tax revenue in lieu of local governments having alternative taxing authorities. It just seems, though, that through time and term limits, that acknowledgement of that arrangement has eroded. And I think there's less trust and reliance on the statutory revenue sharing to serve that purpose. Well, near the end of the trifecta, the Democrats had, back in December of 2024, legislation was actually circulated by then Senator Mallory McMorrow. Now she's running as a U.S. Senate candidate. Her legislation would permit local governments to impose ticket amusement taxes of no more than $3 per admission per ticket. The fee under the McMorrow bill could not be placed on admission charges worth $30 or less. Only tickets costing more than $30 for any event could be taxed. The revenue would be deposited into an account that would actually be overseen by the state treasurer. However, the bill was bashed by Republicans. Senator Joseph Bellino Jr., Republican of Monroe, accused Democrats of having a bill to raise taxes on pretty much every kind of fun except for sexual intercourse. That comment earned him quote of the day by MERS News Service. December 4th, 2024. The bill ultimately died in committee and never got a vote. Well, the new mayor, Mary Sheffield, is trying to raise more revenue for the city of Detroit. Looking at basically their $1.6 billion budget, she's trying to figure out new ways to generate revenue to the city of Detroit. We'll see where this goes. We'll continue to follow it. We're going to move to Washington, D.C. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.